Up and down New Jersey's coast, residents and business owners continue to repair their damages after Sandy and struggle to return to normal life. But amid the rush to rebuild, New Jersey Public Radio's Scott Gurian reports that New Jersey is doing little to prepare for catastrophic storms that might hit in the future.
As a professor of atmospheric science at Rutgers, Anthony Broccoli studies long-term changes to New Jersey's climate. Now, for some, that might sound a bit esoteric, but here's why you should care.
We're alongside the Raritan River, just a short distance downstream from the Raritan Millstone water treatment plant.
Professor Broccoli has come here to tell a parable of sorts, which he thinks we should remember as we go about rebuilding the coast. You see, after the Raritan Millstone plant flooded during a tropical storm in the early 70s, its managers decided to build a berm that would protect it from a 500-year storm.
However, the concept of a 500-year flood implies that nothing is changing and that we can look at past records of water levels and that will tell us what to expect in the future.
But lots of things were changing, including more development in the area and new weather patterns. So what seemed like adequate protection back in 1971 was no longer enough by 1999.
During Hurricane Floyd, the water level in the Millstone and Raritan rivers rose so high that it overtopped the berm and began to flood the plant. The plant was closed down for a couple of weeks afterwards as a result of that. And the plant workers had to be evacuated by helicopter due to the flooding.
Broccoli says the past cannot be used to predict the future. Climate models predict more intense storms, and sea levels could rise as much as 3.5 feet by the end of the century, compounded by the fact that the Jersey Shore is slowly sinking.
The state's done a great job of focusing on rebuilding after Sandy. What we haven't seen enough of is a comprehensive look at a strategy for making New Jersey smarter than the storm going forward.
Chris Sturm with New Jersey Future is one of the state's leading thinkers on planning issues. As New Jersey continues its recovery process, she thinks climate change needs to be more central to the discussion.
I mean, right after the storm, nobody wanted to talk about long-term planning. They didn't have the capacity. They were responding to a true emergency. But I think we're past that point now, and we see other states stepping forward, engaging in planning, and figuring out how to prioritize limited funding to make sure we're getting the biggest bang for our buck.
New York, for example, did a study after Sandy to find ways to be more resilient based on climate projections over the next 100 years. Seth Diamond is director of New York's Office of Storm Recovery.
Well, the governor very early on convened a commission that looked at these issues and conducted some analysis to make predictions about where the flooding would be and where the sea levels would cause the most trouble.
And here's Connecticut's Environment Commissioner Dan Esty.
Sandy led to a big coastal legislative bill that went through our General Assembly last spring. And that provided a whole series of changes in terms of planning processes, setback requirements.
Delaware now requires all state structures in flood-prone areas to be raised at least 2 feet above the elevations on the new FEMA maps. Colin O'Mara is Delaware's Secretary of Environment and Energy.
We adopted a guidance policy looking at sea level rise scenarios between 0.5 meter and 1.5 meters by 2100.
And in Maryland, Zoe Johnson with the Department of Natural Resources says the state has long been concerned about the future predictions.
In response to Hurricane Sandy, Governor O'Malley issued an executive order, and it requires the state to factor in the impacts of sea level rise and coastal flooding in any new infrastructure investments.
But New Jersey? Silence. New Jersey's Environment Commissioner and the head of the state's Storm Recovery Office have not responded to repeated requests for interviews, but Governor Christie has discussed the state's plans at press conferences. Here he is last July announcing buyouts of Sandy-flooded homes in South River.
The fact is that we're not putting things back the way they were before. We're making them stronger than they were either by moving people out of neighborhoods like this or by building dune systems up and down the entire 127-mile coastline to make sure that if another storm like this comes, that we don't have the kind of devastating results we had now.
He also says the state is giving grants to help people elevate their homes, assist local communities in their planning efforts, and help harden critical infrastructure like the power grid. New Jersey Future's Chris Sturm says that doesn't go far enough.
What we're looking for is, you know, a more comprehensive analysis of our risks and state guidance on exactly the risks we face. How much do we expect sea level to rise? what is that going to do to storm surge in 10 years, 50 years, 100 years? Where are the properties that have been damaged 2, 3, 4 times before? That kind of information can help us prioritize how we act and where we spend our money.
Governor Christie says his administration will focus more on storm mitigation over the next year once it gets the second batch of Sandy aid money from the federal government. Environmental and planning advocates hope that means New Jersey will take climate predictions into account. So they're planning not just for the next storm, but for the next century.